Hey, we'd like to welcome everyone out to our city council meeting tonight, December 14th, regular 6:30 session. And we'll start our opening ceremonies with I'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance and Kevin will lead us in the prayer.
I'm gonna lead the Pledge of Allegiance, you'll do the prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before thee this beautiful winter evening and give thee thanks, Father, for the moisture we've received and the many blessings that we enjoy and being able to live and grow in this community. Father, we're also thankful for the time of year that is where we celebrate the birth of our Savior. It's a wonderful season and a wonderful time of year for us here in Mount Pleasant. We thank thee for the opportunity to serve the community and it's been a pleasure, Heavenly Father, to serve and to watch Mount Pleasant grow and develop. We're thankful for the happenings of the resources of water that we've been able to acquire and move forward to develop. We have much to be grateful for this past year, and we ask thee to be with us as we hold this meeting tonight. Thy Spirit will be with us, that we might be able to answer any questions that come up, and that we might be able to resolve any issues that might come up. So, Father, we're thankful for the freedoms that we have and the men who and women who work to preserve those freedoms. So, Father, this night we have many things to be grateful for. We ask thee to watch over us and watch over our homes and our families while we're away. We ask for these favors and blessings this night. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, let's start off with the roll call.
Hold up, Steve. Justin.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Russell.
Here.
Donnie.
Here.
Sam.
Here.
I'm gonna get a few chairs for everybody that's standing. I'm gonna move another over.
Do you need what?
Just along the front?
Yeah, across the back there, too.
Doesn't normal do it.
Doesn't?
I didn't recognize you at first.
Well, at least made it where I'm on a trip around
my life. How many more do we need?
How many more do we fit?
Yeah, I'll break that over.
We got enough seats for everybody?
Nobody wants the front row.
Nobody wants to be in the front row.
Nobody wants to sit in the front row, Rick.
It's funny that there's been a city everybody can die for those.
All right, we'll continue on. agenda. Next item is approval of minutes of our November 9th, 2021 regular city council meeting held at 6:30.
I'll make a motion we approve the minutes for the city council meeting, the regular meeting, November the 9th, 2021, 6:30 p.m. regular meeting.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell, seconded by Kevin to approve the minutes of our November 9th, 2021, regular city council meeting held at 6:30 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of our November 23rd, 2021 regular city council meeting held at 6:30 minutes.
I'll make the motion we approve the November 23rd, 2021 regular city council meeting held at 6:30 p.m.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, I have the motion by Justin, seconded by Rondi to approve the November 23rd, 2021 regular city council meetings held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of adjustments. The transaction register dated 11-1 of 2021 to 11-30 of 2021 in the dollar amount of a negative $13,385.67.
I'll make the motion we approve the transaction register from November 1st through November 30th, 2021 for negative $13,385.67.
I'll second that motion by Justin.
Okay, I have the motion by Justin, seconded by Rondi to approve the transaction register dated 11-1-2021 to 11-30-2021 in the amount of a negative $13,385.67. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russ.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Next is approval of claim register dated 11-23-2021 to 12-9 of 21 in the dollar amount of $285,746.91.
Motion we approve the invoice register from 11-23-2021 to 12-9-2021 in the amount of $285,746.91.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have the motion by Russell, seconded by Justin to approve claim register dated 11-23-2021 to 12-9 of 2021 in the dollar amount of $285,746.91. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russ.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Zap.
Okay, requisition.
Well, only requisition has about 1 month.
The truck. Chief, you want to come up? Chief Woodward?
And you remember, just after we heard John had found some vehicles that the guy said he was going to hold for me, and they had under 40,000 miles, and were around 15,000. And he ended up, I don't know what happened, he sold them out from underneath me, and he's got some other ones that are a lot more miles and a lot more money. Everything else is 10 to 12 months out. There's a new company in Salt Lake that has, they do outfitting, it's called Intermountain Outfitting, they put in the equipment and stuff. He's got a few available. He said he had to save one for us, try to get approved if not to.
So does this price include getting it all equipped with?
There should be another paper there with ground.
It's on the back side.
That's the 8,200.
8,200 for equipment and installation.
On top of the price.
Right, we have it, it needs to be replaced, we need to replace it with something. They're just, their new vehicle market is non-existent.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that I could come up with.
Is it in the budget, Mayor, Dave? Budget, is it budgeted?
Wasn't in the original budget, but my sales tax figures are up enough that this would be within a budget change.
We had like 20,000, wasn't it budgeted originally for the vehicle? So we'd be looking about 64 now, 64,115 or 61,15.
So I had misunderstood. Is this new, brand new, or has it got some money? Okay. That's because the used vehicle market's just not there, non-existent.
You can find, like, so he did have some. They're from another agency. He said they had right around 60,000 miles on, and they were selling them for between 18 and 19,000. And a used police vehicle with that many miles on it, it's got idle time, it's probably twice that. You know, it's just 30. It's time to trade them out.
How many miles on the Durango?
It has 106,000, I think, but it needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
And Culper. He said to hold off and see what we can find before he puts money. It just needs suspension, front end done, suspension, and the water pump's leaking now. And there's some other electrical thing. It sounds like it sparks as it's idling.
Well, I for one think it's essential that we have dependable vehicles for our responders, so seems like a lot of money, but
what's the warranty on these electric cars?
It says that there's a 3-year, 36,000 mile warranty.
This is electric or
it's a hybrid.
Hybrid.
It's
hybrid.
A hybrid.
Well, it's
dual.
And the thing about it is, there is a company I could get some from right now that they do 1-year leases. They buy high-end vehicles under government pricing. You lease them for 1 year, then turn them in. And then they resell them. That's how they kind of make their money. The bad thing about them, and the bad thing about doing that for a city, is if you look on that installation price, that's a pretty good price actually for installation, because there's some stuff that we haven't put in. But you're looking at $3,500 to $4,000 a year for installation costs.
Every time you have to do that.
Plus their leases. The last one, she told me it was $6,500 a year lease, plus around $4,000 every year to put in equipment. And that's just installation fees. That's not
equipment, taking equipment out of a vehicle and put it back in, and it just doesn't, it's not cost effective, I think, for us to do that. That's why I really want to do that. The way we have it set up now is four-year terms on leases, and we can take the equipment out, sell the vehicles for a good price, and kind of run our fleet on revenue from selling the vehicles. We get a pretty good deal on these. If we use them for the 4 years and then resell them, we can still get a really good price out of them, and that will pretty much run our fleet for next to no cost if we do that, if we set it up that way and keep it going.
So that's what you've been doing then?
Yes.
So you figured to run them about 4 years, and then you still got some resale value?
Correct. Like the Durango, because I mean, we could maybe get a couple thousand dollars out of it.
Yeah.
What year is the Durango? It's pretty old.
So it's, you know, it can be cost effective to do that, you know. We do get vehicles at a good price. We can run them and then turn around and resell them at retail for what market is when we resell them and do fairly well. It's, you know, it's, we can run our fleet at a pretty good price.
Do you track the fuel usage on each vehicle? I mean, so you'll be able to know if this...
The thing about this, I think it would be, it says, you know, so we have a lot of idle time.
Right.
And when it's idling, it will be on the electric not the gas. So I think it would be kind of, it'd be interesting to see kind of how that works,
right.
how it relates to just...
Yeah, see if there is a saving.
So does this have an actual plug-in?
No.
It charges itself.
Because some hybrids, you plug in and some you don't.
But I think these that are bulk, usually, correct me if I'm wrong, charge their self.
That's what I'm under understanding.
Well, I think Jim's got his homework. I'll make a motion to approve the purchase. It sounds like they've got the budget for it. So I'll make a motion to approve this purchase of this vehicle.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Jim.
I have the motion by Kevin, seconded by Justin, to approve the requisition to purchase a new police officer truck with the everything added on. It's $64,151. Roll call.
Justin?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Can I take a minute?
Huh?
Can I give a minute here?
Sure. Tonight's the last night for two men. 12 years from Justin, 8 years from Kevin. And I know I've been with them for 3 years. And they've done a heck of a job for this city. They've worked with the best interest of every citizen in this town in their hearts. And I'd just like to give them a vote of thanks and a hand for y'all.
And that is who we're recognizing as the Citizen of the Month. They didn't know it. We'd like to recognize our two councilmen who are, well, this will be their last city council meeting.
I didn't realize that all these people were coming.
I did. You done fine. Natalie has a little gift here for you.
Gee, what happened? Thank you very much.
I don't think people realize how much time until you're involved, how much time the city council does put in and stuff, so we'd like to thank them once again for all their time and everything else they've done for the city. Well,
thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to set it back here.
I'm going to eat some of
you're going to start eating.
Natalie, do you need to get a picture for the newsletter? Okay. I just thought of that. All right. Next item is approval of our water conservation plan, which we have to do as a resolution. So it is the resolution 2021-21, a resolution of Mount Pleasant City, Utah, adopting and updating the 2021 Mount Pleasant City Water Conservation Plan.
Which we just had explained to us by Devin, so thank you for that.
Yep.
I've been making all the motions, so you gotta stay quiet.
Well, I've read through the plan, and I think it's a good plan for our community. And I'll make a motion that we approve Mount Pleasant City Resolution 2021-21. And adopt the updated 2021 Mount Pleasant City Water Conservation Plan.
Okay, I have a motion by Rondi and seconded by Sam to approve Mount Pleasant City Resolution 2021-21, a resolution of the City of Mount Pleasant, Utah, adopting the updated 2021 Mount Pleasant City Water Conservation Plan. Roll call.
Justin?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
And Sam?
Yes.
Okay, next is public participation.
Hey, American, I was just going to say that there's a hard copy of that conservation plan. I think we could leave one at the office if anybody's interested in...
All three of them will be there.
Okay.
One we have to keep with our records, and the other two will be there.
So. Just for
everybody's references.
What that can...
Can that be found online?
We can scan it in and put it online, yeah.
Just on the city's website?
Yeah. Yep.
Reminder, Mr. Cox, the meeting is free.
Yep. Just to remind everybody with the public participation, it is 3 minutes. First one is Robert Brotherson. Got a bunch.
I would also respectfully ask for additional time, no more than 6 minutes. There are some people that don't feel comfortable speaking in a public setting. And am I allowed upwards of 6 minutes to talk?
3 minutes. With all the list we got here, otherwise we'll be here all night.
It's always an empty chamber, isn't it? So.
Yep, till tonight.
Yeah. All right, so I want to remind everyone here, and also you city council members, and I don't see anyone from planning, we're here on behalf of a development that is being proposed to be put in, basically Keith Burleson's property, 24 acres. I've heard different numbers, 65 homes, 76, 80. Regardless, I know that that's too much. And for reasons that I'll get into and other people that have signed up, but I just want to read from the general plan that's put together through input from us, the citizens of this wonderful city. And it says, planning is not merely the writing of a plan. It is a process of civic engagement, visioning, deliberation, and preparation. And here's the vision statement. It's right after the cover page. To provide a healthy, clean, safe environment to preserve our heritage and traditions is an affordable place to raise a family, to bring more industry and jobs, to keep our families coming back while preserving our rural community, to promote recreational facilities, living conditions, and beautification that will increase our ability to pursue our chosen lifestyles. The plan, seek the common good, not personal interest. The primary goal is to provide a healthy, clean, safe environment to preserve our heritage and traditions as an affordable place to raise a family. The rural atmosphere desired is to be promoted by providing areas in the city where residential use is harmoniously integrated with agricultural pursuits by allowing farm animals, fowl, and gardens. It is intended at the same time to retain land parcels large enough to provide efficient and attractive development and growth that occurs in an orderly manner. The rural component for Mount Pleasant residents is not simply agriculture, planted fields, and livestock, but features a close relationship to the land, pride in raising crops and animals. I'm not sure how much time I have left, but I'm not against, what's that?
A minute 15. Okay.
I'm not against the growth, but my family didn't grow up here and I didn't move back here to see this kind of development happen. And just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. And I want very carefully for the city council to determine your decisions. You just can't erase 80 homes. They're here to stay. And it sets a precedent for all these other people that are eyeing. I mean, again, 1 acre is what I propose. It's residential agriculture. You can't do nothing on a quarter acre. So that's all I got to say.
Thanks. Jane White's the next one.
Okay, I wanted to discuss the culinary water that will be required to put in 65 to 80 homes in that area. How many feet of water is the city requiring to be transferred to supply these homes? A house requires 0.45 acre feet. The paper said 76 houses, so that's 35 acre feet just for the homes. That does not include watering the lawn or stock water. Can the existing culinary water system support that many new connections and the new usage? Is there a plan to increase the size of lines to supply water without reducing pressure to the existing users? Who will pay to improve the well infrastructure and the storage and treatment infrastructure to supply the additional water? I also wanted to bring up the fact, which we didn't have in our talking points, about the impact of the schools and the development. Elementary school is almost maxed out. The middle school is almost to capacity. The high school impact will be costly. And has anyone done an impact study on the school system and how 65 to 80 homes will impact that? And that pretty much has to be looked at and thought about before we move forward with this development.
Thank you.
Thanks. Doug White.
I don't know if I can add to the concerns of what has already been commented, with their concerns. I do feel like that many homes is a little bit ridiculous in that area. I didn't come out here to live in South Jordan, and I prefer the open spaces. I know that that you guys have to, their goings are wonderful, but going on this level is a little bit out of control, I think. And I don't think this has been thought through well enough. You know, I don't think, when you think about it, the impact on the community. Has there been impact studies on this to determine exactly what's going to cost and how it's going to impact everyone? Because I don't think that's been thought through fully. That's way too many people to. It's going to make a huge impact on growth and everything. And I don't know if. The roads they'll be able to handle it as messed up as they are already. You know, what's going on? And that's my concern. That's all I have to say.
Hey, thanks. Mark Larson.
What's that? Like your hat.
Thank you.
Thanks for a moment. I agree wholeheartedly with what's been said, and again, I'm here to speak with regards to this new development and development in general. I just want to make it known that I'm not against development. I don't think anyone here is. We know it's coming. We know it's inevitable, but it's got to be done right. And I just want to speak to the lifestyle aspects of it. My family and I moved here. It's going on 3 years now, and I know that there's a number of other people here that have recently come here to escape the rat race of the Wasatch Front and other places like that. And we moved here for the rural and small-town lifestyle, and I would hate to see that be lost. Once it's gone, it's gone. So I just want to speak to that I hope we can maintain it. I'm sure those who are long-timers or lifers here would feel the same way. We've got to be really careful and how we approach development and density and that kind of things. I know others are going to speak with regards to water and roads and infrastructure, that kind of thing, that are going to be impacted immensely with this. I worry about the traffic increase and these kind of things with roads that are currently not able to handle that increased traffic, in my opinion. So obviously with this, I've seen bumper stickers and shirts and signs lately that say, let's not California, Utah. And I would add, let's not Salt Lake City, Mount Pleasant, and the San Pete Valley. So I'll leave it at that.
Todd Horn.
My name's Todd Horn. I've been down here for 20 years now. I moved from Utah County, just like a bunch of you have. I'm going to tell you, it's a great place to live. But I'm going to, first of all, appreciate all you people that are here tonight for the simple fact that I would hope to see this many people at every meeting, because there's a lot going on in this community, especially now, that is very important, and it seems like it gets skipped. I was told about this meeting tonight, short notice. But I'm here to tell you, I ran for mayor for this town several years back, and I still have a lot of interest, and I have a lot of knowledge about this community. That anybody who wants to talk to me, I live on 3rd North, 310 North State Street, big house with a old deer standing in front of a rock. And I would be more than glad to talk to any of you people at any given time. I only have 3 minutes tonight, but I got all sorts of time if you want to catch me in my house. And I would really like to talk to a lot of you because I got a lot of information. I'm familiar with developers that have been in this community before. They've since moved, but I can give you a lot of information. This town does not have the infrastructure. Anytime you look at a building project like this, there's continual problems that issues that go on, not problems, but issues that come about with your infrastructure, with your sewer, with your water. Everybody in here, if you've been here any length of time, you didn't have any water last year, you can't use your culinary water for your irrigation water. You can't even water your lawn with your whole, if you want to pay for that water, which I quite can't understand that, because you're paying for that culinary water, and this city is obligated to provide culinary water. Anyway, we're not going to go there, but if you come and talk to me, I want to talk to y'all, but I want to tell you, continue to show up at these meetings like you are, because that is the most important thing. I can't stress enough to show up at every meeting and fill this hall, and in fact, if they need to find a bigger place, more power to it, because you people are in control of this city. You've elected people to represent you, but ultimately, you have the power to make it happen. So if you want to let your case be known, you continue to show up like this, and I will be glad more than anybody to talk to you and explain. I have a lot of knowledge about this community. I've been here for 20 years. I was born and raised in Utah, and I spent a lot of time as a kid. And I know a lot of people, and I know a lot of the development people that were in this community for a lot of years. And I'll be more than glad to talk to you, because I only got 3 minutes. I've been this way before, and they just don't give you enough time to talk about it at an issue that is as big as this is. And if you can't have more than 3 minutes, I'm going to get kicked off the stand here. But anyway, come and talk to me. I'll be more than glad to talk to you. 310 North State Street, Mount Pleasant.
Tyler Recker, Rencher, sorry.
Good evening. I live in the most recently developed quarter acre lot community. I live right on 285 North. I get all the traffic for the whole community go by my house every single day. I understand that this new development, which is being proposed, it will link to the community I live in, to provide a second point of ingress and egress for them. That road, that 285th North, is just barely wide enough for me to back my truck
out of my driveway and then drive. I almost have to do a multi-point turn. That road cannot support doubling the number of homes that it services. Now, it won't service all of them directly, but you can bet that the folks that live up near Mountainville will not want to go get out on Mountainville at 200 North to go down to the state. They'll want to come through the neighborhood just because it's easier and simpler. My kids and all the neighborhood kids love to play, ride their bikes and stuff. If we triple, perhaps, the traffic on that road, it's just not going to be safe for the kids to be out there and play. And, 200 North, that road, when I'm driving my truck down that road, I pretty much have to hang one of my rear tires off the side if one of the county dump trucks goes by, because our two trucks are just so wide, it's scary to be driving by. And I've heard from other guys with you know, wide trucks that feel the same way about subsegments of 200 North. So if we're going to be increasing the traffic so much on that road with this development, I would hope the city would work on getting it widened a bit so that it's safer for all that traffic. I mean, we already have a ton of traffic on that road right now. It's probably the second busiest road in town, as I say. So those are my biggest concerns with the development. Reducing the number of homes by increasing the lot size would really help with that, as well as improving lifestyle for the folks that are buying those, because quarter acres is not enough to live the rural lifestyle that that we all moved here for. I moved here from Seattle because I love the rural lifestyle. If you go look at Spring City, where they require 1 acre lots, extremely different feel than Mount Pleasant. I love Mount Pleasant, but sometimes it could look a little dumpy with folks not having enough room to park their toys and their trailers and their cars and put a shop in and all that stuff, because some of the lots are just too small for that. And so they just out of necessity have to start putting their stuff really close to the road, and they still have room, and it's just the size of their lot. It's just the way it is with these small lots. I have here just a whole list of concerns and questions. I would really appreciate it, and I think many of the people here would appreciate it if we could get copies to you councilmen and get some written answers to address these questions. That would go a long way to addressing our concerns.
Brian Seeley.
First off, before you start my time, I'd like to say, Kevin and Justin, thank you guys. I appreciate it. Long time, guys. Thank you. What have you done? So with this, the water, one day, that's all like water, all year, one day, a week. We don't have the irrigation. You're going to throw the radio houses up by me. Heck yeah. Come on, for it. Come on, you guys. They need improvements on Second North so bad. That road, like he said, he can barely drive without passing another vehicle. You're off on the shoulder, beating up your tires. What are you going to improve by putting 80 more homes right next to me? Two more outlets, maybe. But there will be a lot more traffic on that one outlet going through Lars. This relative son is not going to sell his ground to us to make another outlet. So what are we going to do? It's in that road right there. It's, what are we, 16, 18 feet wide tops? So, think about it, water. Way too much. And I agree, the quarter acres, I'm the one that's parking all my stuff along the side of the road because I got nowhere else. My lawn's full. So, thank you guys.
Thanks. Dax Higgins.
My name is Dax Higgins. I've lived in this town for 17 years. Mr. Mayor and City Council, I appreciate and thank you for your time and attention. It's no mystery that all these people are here to talk about or understand this issue tonight. These are our stakeholders. These are the people that you represent. These are our community, as it says in the vision statement for the city. I only learned about this today. And yet, I feel very strongly that if something like this is trying to be pushed through, that it needs to have the careful attention, it needs to have the attention of the whole council, our stakeholders, and everyone that this is going to impact, because this is a severe change in growth. This is a potential 10% growth in our whole city if 80 houses go in there. I want to talk a little bit about, and I appreciate the others who have spoken, I just wanted to mention some of these more points, about irrigation water. Currently, up in those developments, we don't have irrigation water, and we were wondering if irrigation will be installed, if there are Pleasant Creek shares that will be transferred to support these new homes. If irrigation water is not installed, will there be an even larger toll on the culinary water system? And do we have the culinary water system resources to be able to handle the additional lawn water on top of the culinary use? If irrigation water is going in, will the irrigation water pipes be enlarged to deliver water to new users without reducing pressure to the current users? Who will bear the cost of these additional improvements? And what is the plan to mitigate current water shortages and rationing in addition to this development's usage? So this is just another point that we'll have copies to you on, but you know, I appreciate the growth that's happened recently. The people who moved into these new developing areas, I love every one of them. They're great people, and I'm glad that we can grow and that we can have people move in, but we need to do it responsibly. We need to make sure that we can sustain the type of lifestyle that we all desire and we moved here for. And so just being responsible. Again, think carefully about this decision before we allow anything to pass. And again, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Brandon Strauss.
Like I said, I'm Brandon. Nice to see the city out. I'd like to point out that almost a full 2% of the city heard about this meeting 2 hours ago and showed up. I heard about this meeting at 4:48, and here I am. A lot of people covered infrastructure. We got irrigation water coming in concerns. We got culinary water coming in concerns. We got sewer going out concerns. We got road concerns. We have lifestyle concerns. So if you do quarter acre lots, people who live on quarter acre lots are not people who live on acre, half acre. I'm sure some of you guys got 35 acres. It's a different thing. Look at the west side of Salt Lake City in the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s with the gang problem that immigrated from California. I mean, Ogden had problems for decades, still has problems, because people immigrated from big cities to smaller cities. I've heard 80 homes, so that's the number I'm going with. That's an 11.4% increase in the city all in one go, in phases, but it's all in one go. That's 120 cars on the second north, if you average out a car and a half per house. It's zoned for agriculture, right? What agriculture can you put on a quarter acre lot? Like everybody out here, I bet, has a hoop house, or a greenhouse, or some goats, or at least some chickens, right? What are you gonna do on a quarter acre lot? It's not gonna happen. What are you gonna do with, we'll average out, say, 80 teenagers? Where are they gonna get employed? Anybody seen what happens to 80 teenagers when they don't have jobs and they get bored in a small town? They still make movies about it in Hollywood, and it's not a stereotype. Can the city support that, or is it just more people moving in, putting more stress on the infrastructure, and taking their money back north or to Ephraim? Like, are we, the citizens, the council, and everybody, going to end up paying to make other communities richer because we built some track homes? How many of you drive up north either direction and go past Santa Queen, go past Spanish Fork, go past Springville, and be, oh, I remember when it was up on the mountain, it was a pretty town, and then you shake your head and look what it's become. Then we want wholesale to move that down here so we can drive past that and shake our head and be like, oh, look, it's that. Remember when there was a mountain? What about, I mean, wild unintended consequences? What happens to all the wildlife from all the cats and dogs? The houses push the wildlife further back, cats and dogs kill birds and small mammals, and then you get, oh, you go from, hey, I live in Mount Pleasant, oh, it's pretty, to, hey, you live in Mount Pleasant, oh, it looks just like Springville. There's no wildlife. I heard earlier in the previous meeting that you guys wanted to focus on recreation. Track homes don't bring recreation. Wilderness brings recreation in Utah. You don't come to Utah to look like LA. You come to Utah and go out and see the deer, go fishing, go hunting without a G on it. And so I I don't know, I think there's a lot more than just the raw infrastructure. People brought up irrigation. You guys sent out a notice where we only got 2 days on April 15th. We didn't even turn the water on for an extra week. I mean, that's how short we already are over on that side of town. So, that's the idea.
Yeah. Matt Fisher.
Okay, I'm not well spoken. I moved here 10 months ago from Harriman, Utah. If you guys know Harriman, Utah, it was a small town when I grew up there 37 years ago. Now it is a big city. It would take me, so I lived up the canyon, 2.5 miles, would take me 20 minutes. It has turned into a nightmare. Like, I don't even want to go there anymore. So me and my wife decided that we wanted to go back to the small town. My wife is the cheer coach at the high school, and I'm the president of the Little League football since we've moved down here. Do I want more kids? Yes, I do. But we have kids that already live here. With us bringing more people in, we are just turning this into Harriman. More infrastructure, more homes, smaller properties. We have 10.5 acres that we bought that we're building on right now. Well, not yet, but we are in March. I don't want to see this beautiful place that we live in turn into what Harriman was. Or is now. I love the small town atmosphere. And yes, with more people coming in, brings in more money to the city. But it also brings in, I'm trying to find shares of water for my property. What's that going to do to my water? The first day of church, when I came here, there was 3 or 4 prayers said of people praying for water. So how are we going to get that? Like, do we have a solution? Is there a plan? As of right now, I haven't heard of a plan because I'm already struggling trying to find water for my own lot, as well as everybody here. We bring in 80 homes. What are we going to do? We're taking away from all the people that have been here for 20, 30, 40 years. My neighbors, right there, and Carolyn. I love them so much. I love them so much. But they had all this property, and they just struggled to water their grass.
Time's up.
Okay. But we've got to find out a solution. If we're going to bring in that many homes, you have to let us know where we're going with it. Because right now, with my 10.5 acres and everybody else's acres, there's no way that I see a solution.
Ian?
Hi there, we moved here from South Africa back in 2008, as moved to Harriman, which was pretty much like this at the time. And just in the short time I was in Harriman, in 10 years, once that city council allows high density to come in, there's no way of stopping it. It just, the house just get closer and closer and closer and closer eventually. So I want to read you a little scripture. in Isaiah, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that there may be a place alone in the midst of the earth." So in other words, our founding fathers wanted us to be agricultural people. The core of a man is to be able to grow his own food in his house if he needs to. A quarter acre, you cannot grow your own food. If something hits this town, and those people, there's no place for them to grow food at all. They become a liability to the rest of society. There is, look, growth is inevitable. I mean, I'm over here from South Africa, all right? You can kick me out if you want to, you know, African here or whatever. But the fact is, if you are a guy who wants to be by yourself, grow your own thing, have your own horses, and every time I flush the toilet, it goes into my septic goes back down a couple of hundred years later, back into the water. You have in the city, you flush, it goes straight down the sewer, and it's gone, okay? Never to be seen again. So the aquifer is not being replenished by just flushing things down the sewer. Eventually our water, they're going to start recycling that water back into your culinary water. That's the way things go, okay? So once a person becomes dependent, and you get that class of person who's dependent upon everything else around them and not being able to do things themselves, that's when you start having trouble. I've had to move every 10 years, had to make a move. I mean, I'm Hereman. I used to get work done in Home Depot. It used to take 7 minutes. When I left there, it took 45 minutes. That same trouble. Okay. So once you start, you're going to just have past toilet paper houses where they live next to each other. You can pass that same roll next to the guy, next to the guy. You look at Spanish Fork, drove through here today. That started out too, beautiful, pristine farmland. The next thing you know, from farmland, from agricultural land to wasteland. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Is that everyone?
Yep. It's everyone.
So, can I touch real quick on, just kind of real quick? So, I know you guys all have concerns, and I appreciate all of you guys coming out with your concerns. I spent an hour on the phone before we had our public hearing with other people that were calling me and talking to me the same thing. And, this isn't something that's going to bloom in terms of, we want it done right the same as everybody else, 100%. I don't want another subdivision of where, you know, it's an issue where there's the road problem, water problems, or sewer problems. We don't want that. So we are taking measures to do what is the right way to do it, if that makes sense to me. So,
how are you doing this?
Part of it also is what we just adopted was the water conservation plan. That's as far as there is no irrigation that will be allowed in this subdivision. So yes, it will be culinary. We are working on measures currently that is increasing our culinary supply significantly.
Is that going to be published in the public?
We've been working on that, yeah, so it's in
the... That's been in the works for over 4 years probably.
So I mean, it is stuff that we've been looking for. Right now, our culinary, what we're doing right now, we're looking at an over a 55% increase for our culinary water supply. So that's significant. It's not. Big chunk of it's coming from the springs that we already had that were had issues with. That we're doing a treatment plant to correct the issue with it. The other was the well that we just drilled, which is going to be producing there. They're roughly figuring around 400 gallons a minute. So between the two, it's a significant increase. So we are taking steps to better the city. It's not about building and getting more money and anything that. I've lived here all my life. I was born and raised here. I'm the same way. I don't want Spanish Fork. I don't want to live in Spanish Fork. That's why I live here. Same as everybody else that moves here. You know, they don't want to live in Spanish Fork. They don't want to live in here, but they're still moving here. We can't stop the growth, but we can do it the right way to where it is in an appropriate manner.
Well, that's what's in the zoning, current zoning right now.
Yeah, that is legal, though.
That is legal. However, that doesn't mean that we ain't taking steps to address these issues, because they are issues. These are things that are in place before me, before any of these guys. These have been put in place 20 years ago. These are not things that we put in place. These are things that we are still have been working on for, I don't know how long now, quite a while.
But you have the authority to yay or nay, so.
We're here to support you. We're not here.
Right.
Yeah. So the thing is we can't go against the codes that's already here. If they prove the codes, we can't stop it because that's discrimination. Huh?
They've been approved
years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
Aren't you our representatives that can get in and make changes or make updates to those codes and to those things that are happening in our city?
Yes, we do, but it takes time. It's not something we can just do in one council meeting and say that it's changed.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So it is stuff that we are working on.
So we're saying that we don't have, the subdivision is going in
different phases. The first phase is only 26 homes, and it's like a two-year phase.
Yeah, 1¼ acre each.
1¼ acre, that's over 2 years.
Can we buy the land?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can buy the land.
You 100%. The homes are not, all it is he's coming in, he'll develop the roads and the infrastructure, the lots are there for sale.
Who takes care of the roads,
not Putnam
City?
They will not turn over
to city. And can't take care of our own roads, but we're helping more roads. We can't already take care of what we have.
We've addressed, we've talked to them.
I live on Second North, so I know that road. It's a piece of crap. It's going to drive 500 miles an hour up and down the road. Now what's going to happen?
I agree. I know exactly what you're talking about. I was raised on the same road.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I understand.
Yeah, let's put 80 more homes up there, so we have
to. We are addressing it, and we are, trust me, I am, it's not something we're just taking lightly.
But we can't do anything about it, though.
Are you gonna handle the water situation before you let them develop it?
Yes, we're working on that, yes. So, it is, Dan, that's, like I said, we just
developed it. Do we have more shortages this year?
This year there probably still will be.
There is a difference between culinary and irrigation. Irrigation, we're still in the works, so it's still in the progress of being developed.
And
all the irrigation comes from whatever we get for snow on the mountain. We can't control that.
Is it true or not true that basically this town is underneath the homeowners association law ordinance that basically would put everybody in this room right here at least 90% in violation of some code?
Homeowners, I guess I don't know.
This basically did look at you. Follow and look and see what it is. This basically town is underneath a homeowners association law, which basically, you are in violation if you have more than two vehicles. Anyway, you could beat it, a C, but that's what this town is under. Unless somebody wants to tell me different, I'm going to stand by what I'm telling you right now, and you would be in violation of some ordinance underneath that right now. In this hall right there, I can guarantee you, all of you are in violation of something.
So,
anyway, I know there are a lot of
questions that are involved with the homeowners association. That's what this town is under right now.
So how do we get out from under that?
Well, I'd just like to clarify before we get out of hand here. Every municipality in Utah has codes.
Yeah.
And ordinances. And if we didn't have codes and ordinances and everything was just a free-for-all, can you imagine what that would look like? This isn't just exclusive to Mount Pleasant. Ephraim has codes.
Everybody does.
Fairby has codes. Gunnison has codes.
I'm in agreement with codes. Just look at what the codes show and how they atone to a homeowners association, which basically, if you're in a homeowners association, you pay for those privileges to have certain little things where you can't work on your car in your yard. You can only have so many cars. You can't park a trailer in front of your house.
Those are just codes.
They're codes, but they're
homeowners association is going to tell you what kind of fence you can have. The city does not do that. They're going to tell you you have to have a 6-foot fence, but there's a reason behind it too.
If the city has code, then shouldn't the city make that road the right way? Well, yourself said it's not appropriate for EMS services, and now we're going to double, triple the amount of houses there.
In the month of May,
fire truck and the police, and the whole neighborhood's trying to leave.
In the subdivision.
How are you getting in?
In the month of May, this council met
five times.
Yeah.
And we met on roads, and we went to Mapleton City, we went to Nephi, Justin done a lot of work, and we got codes right now for the new development that the roads are going to be put to width.
Talking about the road that you...
Well, the roads we got right now, we got an irrigation system. We got an irrigation system coming in the next couple of years. Do we want to dig these roads up? Do we want to put new roads in right now and then dig them up in a couple of years? No, we don't. We looked for a new blacktop so we could, we had an estimate done that would cost us $24 million to do these roads in this town.
All I'm saying is that road is not wide enough, and your city councilman said it when he was the fire chief.
There's room there.
That's the way it is. I was there in the meeting.
Yeah.
Why can't we rezone that area?
I don't know. Who's going to volunteer to give up the property to widen the road?
Not the road, I'm talking the road.
You?
It's not here.
I mean, that's what we're faced with. Main Street. Go up Main Street.
We're talking about what we're talking about. We're talking the development of the road.
You're going to drive up.
Putting the road.
Like, why can't we live on?
They're rezoning the...
Rezone the development from quarter acre to acre lot.
We've talked about that on Fair Order. We've looked at different zones from Ephraim to different things and how they're zoning their stuff, because we have been looking at that.
Oh, but we can. They can.
So we can rezone them, yes. And we can, but it's still not, like I said, it's not something that...
It's not nothing you do in one day.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's large. Like our water system right now being held up by a truck.
It is stuff that we are currently working on.
Maybe we're talking past each other, because everybody's a little keyed up.
So if you're ready,
could you tell us what you're doing to take care of...
I'm not keyed up. I'm just saying.
No, that's what I was saying.
So if you bought a property right
just
now,
let me put it this way. That's what I was trying to tell you.
If you bought a half acre lot right now, you still have that in that act. Okay, our current zones say you can only use such and such for a half acre lot. Now we go back and change that zone to a quarter acre lot. Are you going to still comply with that half acre lot? No, it doesn't. You can't. So we're saying they are bought this and they've already owned the property and it's currently zoned for that. We can't change that to what that zone for now.
Unless we want to get sued by changing it after some advice.
But we can currently work on, which is what everybody's concern is, and what we are currently working on, is looking at how to change these zones to where they make more sense of an acre lot building.
Okay, but what you're saying too is that it's too late for this lot because it's already sold and they're already going to develop it.
Well, the property already is owned and it's already being developed, correct.
But there could be 80 houses.
But there could be, yes. I'm not saying there is.
And you guys,
I don't know how many, it depends on how many people buy the lots.
You guys can't communicate about that it's up to the owner of the property now.
Correct.
Whoa,
just a minute. One at a time.
Okay.
I don't.
Are you aware of surveying issues going on up in that area where that's going on?
With the new development of water. Rodney, why don't you explain the development of water that's on the horizon?
Well, I mean,
Kevin's asked me if I can explain where we're at with our new water sources.
It might answer a lot.
We have Mr. Kevin Shields here from Sunrise Engineering in a public hearing for the water conservation plan. That meeting was held at 5:45 to 6. And he explained where we're at with our water sources, but right now our water source, we have 1,270 gallons a minute developed source. We have a water treatment plant going in to treat the water coming out of Sneak Springs that will add 300 gallons a minute, and our new well will add 400 gallons a minute. So that's increasing our water source 700 gallons a minute. So that's a 55% increase in our developed water source that should be done within the next year. In addition to that, we've looking at using the ARPA funds, the American Rescue Act funds, to obtain an irrigation water well west of town to supplement the irrigation water, in addition to the federal grant and the federal project we have to build an bigger water storage facilities for Twin Creek and also Pleasant Creek. So,
if we
we're proposing, you guys keep throwing out the number 80, That's a 6% increase. Currently, we have 1,380 water connect residences connected to the water system. That's a 6% increase, adding 80 new homes. So,
and 55% increase.
And the ones that have been approved, it's not 80 homes, it's 26 homes.
And it's just, we've just approved the preliminary plan for phase one.
And it's still.
So, hold on, there's, I don't want to call it double speed, but I don't have a better term, so I'll call it, so I'm going to sound like that. Everybody's worried, you keep saying there's a plan or there's some options. What are those options so that we at least have some hope? Because right now it just sounds like we have a plan and go home.
Well, these water sources are being developed right now. The water.
What about everything else? Because we were talking about zoning, and you said we have some stuff down there, and then you didn't elaborate.
Well, this
other option you're exploring besides water.
This new phase that we're proposing, that we've passed the preliminary plan, they have to comply with all the current city ordinances, which means the roads are 50 feet wide. You got to have curb, gutter, sidewalk. All your utilities have to be in place, stubbed into the lots, before you can even sell a lot.
That's not rural development.
That's not the issue. We have a problem. We have a problem with the lots being sold. And you guys said there are things we're exploring, and you still toss that question. Like, every developer has to stub in a lot. And what do you do? What are you doing to prevent Spanish Fork from showing up on Second North? That's what we know. Like, what are the options?
That's what I'm talking about in zoning, as far as changing lot size and looking at different lot sizes.
But 26, that's too late for that 26?
Correct.
Too late.
There's nothing
26?
We can do right now on that.
So for that 24 acres is done. We're just arguing back and forth.
What I want to know is, when was that approved, and how come there wasn't a notice in the public telling the people who live around this area that was going on?
No. I'm a landowner that borders these guys' border, and we did not know until a couple of days ago. But that is baloney.
And that has nothing to do with the city. If somebody buys a house and they decide to build on that property right next to you, they don't have to give anybody notice of it.
Wait a minute.
You approved the plan, so you knew about it.
Yeah.
No. The plans have to go through planning and zoning, and they have to meet certain criteria. See, planning and zoning kicked it to us due to the fact that there were some issues that we had to address as far as egress, which is one of having more than one way in and out of the place. As far as code, we did, like I said, we don't want another whether the roads are too small, there's one way in and out. None of the coronary water has been loop fed, so it's all a big mess up there. We don't want that. But we are trying to avoid all that.
So you just keep going the head and water until the infrastructure's done.
So I don't know where you guys. I mean, everybody's riled up about it, obviously. I mean,
I don't think we're riled up about it. So we just don't want our city to be overwhelmed with.
I agree.
Yeah, can I say something real quick? We just finished an update to our general plan. We sent surveys out to every household in the community. I don't know what response we got back. But that's the time when the public comes out and gives feedback of what the general plan is for the next 10 years.
We never received any notice.
You didn't?
No.
What's the biggest thing coming to the city? Taxes or what? Water, power, gas?
But you can't just, I mean, I hear you guys say, well, I came in here so, because I came from this urban community, and now I want a rural community. You have the right to move here. So now you're here, you just want everybody else to
on
not.
On farmland.
Yeah. Huh? About people who's lived here the whole life.
Okay. So I've lived here my whole life. I'm concerned because I don't get to plant a garden. Like, I can plant a garden, but I don't. Because at the end of the year, my garden's going to be dead.
So why would you make 1 acre lots if you can't even water them?
I don't. So I'm just here to find out because I haven't been coming. So I feel a little guilty about that. I haven't been coming, but I am concerned about the water. And I even feel guilty. I live on a quarter acre. And I feel guilty running sprinklers for my 5 kids during the summer. And so I am concerned about the water issue. Because I already feel like we don't have enough to grow a garden. let alone put in 24 to 80 potential new homes.
And I think you guys have built the same thing.
So, and I have lived here my entire life. I'm in Landals.
So there was 20 some homes behind my shop by our house. You guys stopped that. How did you stop that?
That was before me. I don't know.
How did that get stopped? The guys was right now.
It's not stopped yet. He got surveying and realized how far the surveys are off, and that's his problem.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you too, is did you realize that there's serious survey problems going on up in that area?
I got my Horseshoe Mountain they're going to do. They approved 70 homes and then 20 some below town. So I heard there's like a total of 150 actually when it comes down to it. I heard they approved 70 out by Horseshoe Mountain and 24 below town.
Nothing's been approved below town.
I attended a meeting 2 months ago, and the overall number was like 375. I sat right there in this building.
We've had developers come for outrageous amounts.
And the developers were sitting here in this meeting.
Yeah. I don't want to throw stones, but I have culinary water above the house. And my wife was watering one day a week, just like we do with irrigation water. My bill's $300 a month. Because that culinary water is so blasted expensive, you can't afford to run it. But now we're going to put all that culinary water back over there. It's going to increase the price of culinary water, isn't it? I mean, we're going to be short with culinary water. I realize what you're saying about these new developments and water. You said you got a new well that we purchased, the city purchased.
Okay.
There's no water in that, is there?
Yeah,
that water can't come to town. Didn't you just buy the water rights? No, you're going to pump that water to town?
We're buying the well and the water rights.
And I just asked, I'm not trying to be negative. How's that water going to get up into town, and how will you develop that water right?
We're going to have to pump it.
Okay, certainly all that be in before
through exchange.
This is the last go through.
Exchange.
Before the lab built.
So it'll be a year before there's a house even occupied in where we're talking.
Have you already approved it?
No. So the preliminary, yes.
Preliminary plot.
So what happens if you just give them a 1-inch pot going to the development and a 6-inch sewer coming out and say, there you go. 1-inch water like everybody else and 6-inch coming out. Why are we having to pay for all of that infrastructure for a developer?
We're not paying a thing for the infrastructure. Okay. The developer will do it all.
Do the roads.
Yeah.
Tell them to,
they have to asphalt the roads, they have to curb and gutter it, they have to put sidewalks in.
200 north as well?
No. There will also be impact fees for each home.
So a couple quick questions. So almost every municipality in America makes the mistake of assuming the taxes will cover the infrastructure down the road, and it never happens. First of all, the property tax from those 80 homes, yeah, the residential, it never pays for itself. So what is the plan going forward? And aside to that, several times you guys have said, well, we've got something, we've approved a preliminary, we had to approve something. So it sounds like there's a lot of approving going on. Is there some way or is there some mechanism, long Hail Mary pass, where the city council stops approving crap? Whether it's legal or not. Like, I want a legal channel. Because it sounds like I've heard approved on several different things.
On what basis do we stop it?
That's what I'm asking. I don't know. You're the city council. Tell us.
It's in the code. It allows a certain development to happen.
Then why do you have to approve it? That's what I'm confused about.
Why do we have to approve it?
I've heard approved from three different people.
Because it's part of our code. Approval process in the code.
So who do you...
Okay.
So if people who are representing the community, how come you have... kind of seen something wrong here and stopped it long enough and addressed it to where we straighten it out before there's a problem.
Because it meets the code.
It meets the code. The code's already there in place and it meets it.
Yeah, but can't you see when there's something wrong?
How many of you guys answered the survey when we asked to put on the general plan? I'd like to see anything that happened.
When did you send that survey out?
Probably it would have been 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Oh, okay.
Well,
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good 2 years ago.
How many, JD, how many did you send out?
That's all in rebel.
1,600, and we got how many back?
Michael, why can't I say, no, nobody else can come? That's not right. I know, that's not right. That's what I'm saying. It's not right.
I'm saying not to deteriorate
the property. Well, what's next? Four-level condos or four-level apartments?
You know what? If someone comes in and buys that property, are you going to, what if someone came to you and said, okay, guy,
you can only do this on your property. Would you like them to do that?
They are.
They call that HOAs. They exist everywhere.
Yeah, we don't have them here, right?
Not here.
I'm just saying, you
can't. We're agricultural, and we're trying to make it not a, a small town, quarter acre. So many people.
Do you know how many homes in this town?
Well,
quarter acre. Out there are quarter acre.
We don't want any more.
Well, you know what? I guess move on out.
Well, I have been here my whole life, and I do have another concern with, like, jobs. And do we have development coming in for, like, jobs and things like that?
Part of the infrastructure. That's the infrastructure. You have to be able to provide for the community when you put in development.
I'm just wondering if we have a plan for that. I'm curious.
He's got you. Pam?
Thank you. I just wanted to say that in the last year and a half, 2 years, Clyde and I have been to council meetings almost every week.
Every other week.
But we have learned so much. And I'm not saying that you should be here every week, but if you want to, you can learn a lot, because as these questions are all being asked,
they've been answered
in the last year and a half. And so, and I know it takes time. Takes time and effort, but if there's something you're really strong about, like a cemetery, then you come. So, and I, like I said, we've learned a lot, and a lot of these things have been interesting. And so, I'm not saying that's going to solve the problem, just wanted to catch you that.
I feel how you're stalking.
Yeah.
And we're at the end. We're at the end of the road.
Well, you don't know that.
We keep adding.
You tell us. You tell us. We don't know that. How can we tell that?
Yeah. So we're required to reach whatever it takes to supply them water.
We're there in the city limits. In the city limits, yes.
Even if the water isn't there.
That's the only recourse we have is the water. And that's the reason we held off as long as we have until this water, we got a well, we got this treatment plant coming.
Not yet, right?
Well, and these homes won't be here either before a year.
Yeah, isn't that true? The more water you're using, the more you have to increase the size of your sewer systems. That infrastructure goes beyond just hooking somebody up with water. You have to provide the sewer and everything else for them. The state regulates that, and they'll tell you how many people you can have, how big a water tank you have. You guys know that. I understand it real well because I've been around it my whole entire life. And so it's not only water, it's sewer.
How many pounds are that on the extra right now? One?
We've got
enough for two ponds.
But there's also a lot of lots within the town that are already developed that can hook on with utilities right in front of them. So it's not like we're just turning our head, Todd, and saying, oh, we can't. There's a lot of people that could build right now, and that's
that's true. But let me tell you, I ran into problems in Wallaceburg and everywhere else where they overtapped and they hooked more people onto that water and sewer than they could tap.
So how do you tell somebody
so
they can't?
The people that already have that have the ability to do that, but to keep putting more and more people and expanding that availability to people that already have that availability that haven't utilized it, you're just increasing the chances that this be over where you're going to have to expand the sewer, the water tanks, everything else. I'm just telling you, it's coming. And the fire department and the police department, all those things with the population.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say that growth is inevitable, but growth can be controlled.
That's what we're trying to do.
And I appreciate that. And my only comment is I strongly encourage you and everyone else to make sure that we have the infrastructure in place before we proceed with the development.
Yes.
I don't get the cars to work because they're the car to work.
Yeah, don't have the water, can't do it.
I mean, it's hard, and I get that. But we do have the ability to control that. Well, get the infrastructure first, and then approve the growth, because the hookups, et cetera.
Thank you. Right.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
If you want to put a question, can we control the flow of water? Because the property that I just bought, it was running constantly. So up 500 north, the grove of trees, the creek right there, it was just flowing nonstop. Nobody fixed it. The line goes to my neighbor's property where he has a hay farm, but it was just dumping.
Is that a ditch?
It's a creek.
A little bit?
I don't remember what the creek is.
If it's a little, if it's a small ditch, I'd say no longer.
It's probably North Creek irrigation up Fifth North.
Yeah. So, but it's just going nonstop. Like, I have ice all over.
That water belongs to somebody downstream.
That water
is not going to the river. There's not one drop of water making it to the river. That water is going downstream and it belongs to somebody.
So is there a way we can control that?
We do control it. It's regulated on a daily basis.
It's done by the irrigation company.
I mean, we're talking thousands of gallons.
Yeah,
but it's somebody's water.
That water belongs to somebody.
It's not our grass.
It's breaking the pipe.
If the pipe's broken, that's not, that shouldn't happen.
Okay, but
if there's a pipe broke, the irrigation company needs to know about that, or Mount Pleasant City needs to know about that. Where somebody has a broken line or a riser that's broken or leaking, we fix them. But we can't go around every day and see what's leaking someplace. So if somebody knows about a break in line, you contact the city and they'll get a hold of the irrigation company and that'll be fixed.
Okay. I would just wonder if there's something, like some type of meter that was showing how much water was going out.
There's no meters. When we regulate water to all town, we count sprinkler heads every day. Our sprinkler heads have flow control nozzles in them so we can tell how many gallons a minute are coming out of each one of those nozzles. And so the water is metered, yes, but it's not running through a meter.
Okay, it's just...
But if there's a broken line someplace...
And so he only comes down every now and then.
Okay, if somebody knows about a broken riser or something, please get a hold of somebody that has something to do with water.
Yes, and I'm shut up. And I'm just asking you.
I'm just throwing that out. If anybody knows where there's a water line that's leaking, we will fix them. We want them fixed. We don't want any water escaping from our city.
Right. So. He just lives in Salt Lake. So
get us some water. Drag your feet.
Thank you.
I have a comment.
Make you drag your feet.
I have a comment. Now, you know, it sounds to me like it was zoned for resident agriculture. We've already established quarter-acre lots do not do agriculture. You can't have a horse, you can't have anything on a quarter-acre. A truck, maybe. A trailer. So, to have all these areas zoned for quarter-acre lots is totally ridiculous. And it's not just the area around where I live and Doug lives and Ness. It can be developed north of that subdivision, the cul-de-sac. It can be developed 20 acres here, 10 acres there, all that going down through town. Once we've done, and obviously you guys are saying it's pretty much done, once this mistake is done, then what happens with the other mistakes? What happens with all that property that can be developed, and it's people from up north that come down and buy, have $1 million and buy the property, and then sell it? They're not going to live here. You know, and so those things need to be changed. That quarter acre lot, bull crap. If you're going to have it agricultural, does not work.
And can we hear you, Keith? And I did say in our meeting already, those are things we looked at. We have been currently, because with this, all this coming up, we looked at zoning in Ephraim, and those are things we are looking at currently, how our zoning is set up. We are looking at that, because we understand, just the same as you do, quarter acre, you can't have, there is no way that you can have a horse, two horses on a quarter acre and not have issues with neighbors, not have issues with everything. It doesn't work. We understand that. And I'm telling you now, we have been looking into that.
Okay.
For that one up there, these are things that have come into place, and we are looking at these things now to correct these and trying to do the best we can.
Are you doing it as a result of that development? Or are you doing
it? No, we've been looking at it for a year and a half, 2 years.
We've been looking at it, but the problem is with everything growing as it is everywhere, it's just hitting as it is and where you are.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not something. So here's the thing, is we're trying to please, you guys are a small section of people, there's a huge section of people that think otherwise too. We're trying to please the majority population, really, we are. I mean, it's, we're looking at every option we can to see what is the best bid for the city. And it's not, in my opinion, it's not growing into a Spanish Fork.
Most developments will not even entertain the thought of anywhere building until the infrastructure is in place.
The infrastructure has nothing to do with being in place on that, because they dump that in on themselves.
They have to pay for that infrastructure.
On any city, anywhere they go, are required to put the infrastructure in. We have the water due to the fact that what we have, we can't, we've held them off due to the fact that we haven't had the water, and we've put them off for as long as we put them off.
Pipe hanging up to handle it, though.
Yes.
No, they have, well, in certain areas, they're gonna run new pipes.
Yes.
They have to run new pipes.
They'll have to do this area. There's only a 6-inch water main, they'll have to make it a 10 or a 12. So all along 9th East there, they're gonna have to dig up the whole road, put in all new sewer, put in all new water pipes, all this stuff on 9th East. And so it's gonna be a big mess.
Are they gonna require us to tap into those city facilities after they do that?
No.
Because right now we're on septic systems and everything else.
If you're...
Who is on septic?
If you're...
Up there on 900 East they are. Because the sewer line doesn't go up there.
Justin, you were saying that the code, you couldn't do anything about it because of the code in place? For the fourth of an acre sales or that.
Based on the zone, yeah, there's certain density.
So anybody else who does buy it, the code will still be in place, so there still gets to be a fourth of an acre or anybody else, right?
If they're in that zone.
This, you were saying that you're trying to think of, you're trying to, think about, you're trying to, you're hoping that maybe we can start saying that it has to be an acre.
Yeah, we're talking about.
Justin's saying that the code prevents that from happening, so can we change this?
No, you can have an acre lot in that zone, but you can go down to as small as a minimum acre size.
Yeah, but what are you allowed to grow or have on a quarter acre lot?
There is things currently in place in the ordinance, so if you're on a quarter acre, you're not allowed any big animals. You can have like 2 or 3 chickens, or, you know, there is certain things that are in code currently that you can't have on a quarter acre. It's not going to be a horse or 2 horses.
Is the code law, like we vote for things, like how does the code get created?
This current code's been in place for, long time.
Well, that doesn't matter though, I mean.
It can be changed, but it has to, but basically, it changes through the city council, going through, and then we adopt it and change the code. However, I don't want to just go through and adopt the code right off the bat and just say, oh, this looks good. We want to do a comparison to say, okay, you know, this is what Spring City's doing, this is what so-and-so's doing. What makes the best sense, though, for Mount Pleasant?
I just like hearing, this is the code, if it doesn't help people.
Well, that's it.
It depends on what change you're at. Because you also got to look at the cost of housing right now is so outrageous.
Exactly.
Most people, look at your kids. Can they afford to even live here anymore on an acre lot, a half acre lot?
There's no jobs.
Yeah,
most of them.
Everybody drives to Provo.
I see it. There's a state lane.
There's a state lane.
Going 30 minutes north. Yep.
Right.
Starts at 4:30 in the morning, I can tell you that.
We know the same stuff. We're all working on trying to keep things as best we can.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is there's nothing that can happen with the 80 homes that are proposed in that development. There's nothing anyone could do about those 80 homes.
We can't change the business.
It's only in other projects of the city.
Yep, everybody's gonna have to get involved and rezone it. Rezone the city.
And it's not just there's so many zones in the thing. You have resident agriculture, you have good residential, you have commercial residential, you have, there's so many different zones that most cities have that are structured different things. You know, they've got multi-family zones, they've got, and these things are placed for different things, and we've been trying to figure out the best.
So what I'm saying is the developer has already...
He's already got all the lots, he owns the property.
He owns the property, and there's nothing that anybody can do about what's been purchased.
Correct. I can't change the property and then it's currently called for that.
If there's discrepancy, then in the circle, it's on the time. Move that.
Yeah.
change anything?
That could, if it is up in there, but that hasn't even, he hasn't even got that date yet.
Thank you before I leave. Thank you for everything you guys are all doing. I love that you're all able to just talk about things and figure it out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and he maybe started that. Maybe then if he gets Hickers in the zone, yes, that may end his survey, then that could potential cause issues for him, yes.
Because from what I understand, everything is involved and has lots over West Coast.
And that doesn't have nothing to do with the city. That would be on an individual basis. That would be between the landowners.
It should, though, because it might change everything with the city.
The city can't micromanage personal property.
I know.
As far as where somebody's property line is, we don't have any say over where the property line is.
Where there's.
Kevin wanted to make something that will answer Kevin's question.
First of all, you say we can't do anything. What we can do is ensure that the existing road widths and infrastructure, including roads, water, sewer, and power, will all be installed. We can also ensure that there's adequate ingress and egress out of these areas. And in this particular development, it's going to come off of the Mountainville Road and go straight towards 500 North. Correct me if I'm wrong.
The first phase.
And we can ensure that that has adequate roads in and out. And you brought up a real good point that the developer wants to take it through the existing subdivision. But it's not that big of a deal, and we encouraged him to try to acquire the land, which isn't very much, to go ahead and extend that road clear to the highway. So there are things that we can enforce, and we can hold, and existing codes will allow us to make them provide the adequate inlets and outlets out of the property. Road widths and all of that. So, and this is a preliminary approval, which they've got to come through and show us in writing what exactly they're going to build. And then we look at it and say, no, your roads aren't wide enough. We got to have X amount of footage for utility on both sides. That's all still hasn't been done, and they will put together the drawings, and we'll put additional guidelines on them so that the safety of those people, they don't have to come down Second North. They can come right out to the highway if it's done right. So there's a lot of things, and your input tonight is invaluable. Let me just tell you that. This city council needs to know what this community expects. And if we want larger lot size, that's great, but who's going to be able to afford them? Is our people, is our young people that live here? We talk about we don't have enough jobs for the people we got. Let me tell you, there isn't enough homes for the people we got. I've got people out of town working for us. They can't find a lot or a house, either one, within our city limits. And you're telling us to put the stop on some affordable housing? These people that are buying quarter-acre lots aren't farmers. I'll guarantee you that. They want a place to live and raise their kids. They, in the evenings, they take their kids to ball games. They're never home. And growing gardens and that is not on their protocol. I'm sorry, but it's not. But if that can provide 26 affordable homes for people who are already working here and trying to stay in the San Pete County and not commute from other areas, we have to look at those things. And I will guarantee you that when that goes in, they've got a way in and a way out, and they've got adequate water and adequate sewer. And when they say we're talking about it, we've got road widths and code changes that are already on the drawing board just waiting to be approved. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to be here to help approve those, but the groundwork is laid, and you can rest assured that we have the same very much interest that you do. And I'm grateful for you coming here tonight, and I would hope that, like Mrs. Stoker over here suggested, take an hour out of your evenings every other Tuesday night and join them. Your input, believe it or not, influences the direction this city goes. And you know, we get on the city council so that we can ensure the road widths and the water line sizes and all of that takes place. This irrigation develop, we're on the verge of having adequate irrigation and adequate culinary water. And it's not a pipe dream, it's already financed, it's already on the drawing boards, some of it's ready to let out for bid. So all of these things, in my opinion, are in good hands.
What about jobs?
We would love, you know,
You know what?
When there's people here and new ideas, then new jobs surface. We've got an industrial park that's been built and buildings are in it and people are trying to start businesses. But let me tell you, the reason businesses don't come here, the number one reason is because there's not a workforce. That is the number one reason businesses do not come to Mount Pleasant. There is not a workforce here. We could have had assisted living facilities, senior apartments, all these things. We couldn't no more provide a workforce for an assisted living facility. Every existing business struggles to find employment.
Every business, period, though, now.
It is, in this fight. But that's been the case. We have had job openings posted for 2 years. And you know what? It's almost impossible.
Yes.
And so when you say we build homes,
or you should be doing what you can to stimulate the economy. It's a guarantee you're going to have a crime.
I agree wholeheartedly. But you know, the city can provide the property and so forth and so on, but it's the residents that actually come here and provide those jobs or build those industries.
In other cities, they provide incentives to get companies here too, though. To get people here, to get.
I don't know if we want to attract a company that's going to employ 5,000 people. I think we want to attract small businesses.
Well, I think we're.
No, we're talking about small businesses like restaurants, like things like
that. Well, we'd love another restaurant.
They won't come until you have the population for it.
Yeah, they run their studies.
They do. They won't come unless there's a population for it.
And
the population shouldn't be here until it's here.
Yep.
So, catch-22.
Yep.
So we should stop.
Thanks, you guys. You got a thankless job. You ought to be an irrigation president. I just want to tell everybody, yeah, there's some things in the works for irrigation. We do have funding available, like Kevin said. We got $15 million sitting in an account. We have to jump through some pretty tight hoops to get this done. If we can get it done, it's going to make a big difference on this community. And we're pushing it. We're meeting again on Friday with our engineers. They are trying to get paperwork signed with the state of Utah. It's a big deal. It's hard. It's hard to get storage in this community. The state will not allow us to store water. People say, why don't you build a pond up here? The state won't let us. The state of Utah, according to the decrees, the water laws that are in place here for our community, they will not let us do that. We're trying to make some changes with the Gooseberry and Arrows water. We're trying to bring some of that into here to make some trade so that our community can have some of that. If that happens, we're all going to be smiling to the bank. Now, I'm not saying let's go out and buy everybody and their brother to move in here, but and we can't stop growth, but at the same time, if we can get some of this water in place, it's going to help us. It's going to help us a lot.
Well, I'm not worried about the water.
But it's really hard. What's that?
I'm not worried about the water. It's a big issue no matter what. I mean,
no, water's an issue in Mount Pleasant because we don't have it.
Yeah, so that's
great. There is no water in Mount Pleasant. When we're down at 4 hours a week,
yeah,
that's a joke.
That is a joke.
It's an absolute joke. That pie is split so thin that nobody wants to take a bite of it anymore. But if we can get this water in place, it's going to help us. Now, I'm with you guys.
I really hope it does.
I'm not against or opposed to anybody. We're not going to stop growth. But I don't think we're going to go out on the bandwagon and invite everybody in here either, because we just don't have the resources for it right now.
Buy up the land next to you.
What's that?
Buy up the free land next to you if you can, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we don't have money.
Yeah, I'm saying. If you can.
Yeah, you know, we're up against, it isn't just here, we're up against the same thing in Indianola. We own farm ground in Indianola, people are moving in and out of us like we're like beasts of honey. I mean, it's not just Mount Pleasant.
Oh, it is.
Everybody's trying to move in here, who wouldn't want to?
If it's a low-income housing, where are the lots going for?
It's not low income.
It's not low income.
It's affordable.
It's affordable.
Okay, so where are the lots going for if it's so affordable?
That's up to the owner. That's the developer, the owner.
Just the piece, my big speaks that I offer, now shut up. I'm in agreement with what Richard said. We can't stop people from moving in, you guys know that, we all know that.
Yeah.
People are gonna move in, but let's get things in place. Let's have our T's crossed and our I's dotted before we allow big growth to come in, because this water project that we're hoping on.
Mm-hmm. And that's
we don't have that guaranteed yet. Now we're gonna meet again on Friday with our engineers, the mayor tonight, and a couple others, but if we can get that done, we're planning on building a big reservoir above town where the flood dam is. That reservoir will be the size of Fairview Lake, however many of you know where Fairview Lake is. It'll be one and a half of those. And it will give our community a shot in the arm when we need it. But, here's the big but. We haven't got that approved yet through the state of Utah. We got some things we got to do, and they're all in our court. The uppity ups, honestly, they are in our court right now. They want us to progress here. They want this transaction to take place so that we can store this water here above our community. But we got a lot of forces against us, too. That snowpack that comes off that mountain, just for your information, Pleasant Creek Irrigation Company is entitled 42nd feet of primary water. We can only put 20-some second feet of that primary water in our pipe one time. The pipe won't carry it. So we're saying, okay, then let's store the rest of that 20-second feet. The state won't let us. We cannot store that water. The state will not let us catch and capture our own primary water. We have 90-second feet of secondary water that we should be entitled. We can't keep it. It's a, you use it or you lose it. That's the bylaws that we're living with in our community. Some of those things got to change, and we're trying to change some of those. We're trying to work with our colleagues downstream. Gunnison Water Users Association. That water goes down, the water hits the river and it goes down to Sevier County, down to Delta and those folks down there, Gunnison. This snowpack that's sitting on our mountain right here doesn't belong to Mount Pleasant City. Just a small portion of that does. We have to let a big percentage of that water go past us, go down Pleasant Creek and down the river. If we can get some of those things changed and we can make some trades, we are hoping that we can capture more of that water in this reservoir. That might give us a month or a month and a half, maybe 2 months more water during the summer. It would be a big deal to us.
Yeah.
But those things are still in the works right now, but we're trying to get that done. We're trying to make that transition, and it's hard. These things have been in court for since World War II. They've been fighting us on this deal since World War II. But we're trying to work with cool heads, with our folks downstream, and trying to make a trade with them. We're not trying to take water away from them. We're trying to trade apples for apples. This snow that's on our mountain, if we can capture that water as it comes past our reservoir, would be the cheapest and more efficient way than building a dam up in Fairview Canyon and piping that water over to us. This reservoir, in my opinion, is already built. I mean, we got the money. We talked about that. Kevin mentioned that. We've got approval for $15.2 million. Is that right, man?
Up to $25
million. Up to $25 million.
We've got that money in an account right now, and we've got to push in the works right now to get some other funding, some other grant money, flood control. There's a lot of things. we're hoping to get government money. Government seems to spend money on something else.
You better get a different chair, Kevin.
And I think we can all be here with hope in our heart that some of these things are going to change place or take place, because I have high optimism that we're going to get something done. We're in a better position right now, I think, than we've ever been, because we've got funds. We got $15 million burning a hole in our pocket to start this. These plants, everything's blueprinted, engineered, it's designed. We've worked over the plans for 2 years now. We've looked at these plans for quite a while, but we have to get approval from other water supplier, or you know, from other sources that we're providing water for. It doesn't seem fair to protect our own primary water, but there's bylaws in place, there's the toxic treaty inhibits us from doing that. And it might still inhibit us from doing that. To change that takes an act of Congress, literally. It was imposed by a federal magistrate. It would take an act of Congress to change that bylaw.
Is that just for Utah?
No, just certain areas.
Severe drainage.
The severe drainage, yes. But we're trying to make some other trades without changing that cost of treatment. There's been lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit from our irrigation companies and from Mount Pleasant City to try to get that bylaw to go away. And it don't just happen just like that. I'm not kidding you. I mean, it's a big deal. And those lawsuits have fallen on deaf ears because we've lost every one that we've had.
Did you get all your own?
But if we can make these other changes, and we've already communicated with a lot of those folks, and I think they're willing to work with us. I really do. So don't anybody go out and cash a check on what I just said tonight. But I think we've got a good possibility to get something done. And like I say, it's a long process. What, we've been 3 or 4 years now with Jamie B.
I started with it in 2015.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
What if it takes another 2 or 3 years to get this done?
It will.
And then they're building all of this stuff in the field.
Well, it'll take that long before.
But this is just talking irrigation.
Irrigation, not pulling it.
There's two separate things.
So anyway, sorry, I don't mean to tie up the time.
Thank you.
There's been a lot of concern brought up about crime being a problem. Well, we've added another full-time officer to the force this year. We've proved that in our budget. This council is 100% fully supports our law enforcement. We try to give them everything they need. We're dedicated to that. Safety, security, and law and order. Rest assured, no one on this council wants to see, you know, any growth in crime, so we support our local law enforcement 100%. So there's not a concern there. We're giving them what they need.
There's something that hasn't been mentioned. Each one of these homes, there'll be impact fees on each one of them. The citizens who live here now won't have to support. There'll be impact fees on these homes that will help the city and the cost of maintaining the roads and doing those things.
And the school system.
The city has nothing to do with the school.
Well, if we don't have those people coming in, it'll impact the schools.
I mean, and that's something that should be in your impact report, you know. I mean, everything should be covered on how, especially out here, on how it's going to impact absolutely everything. Your hospitals, your school.
So your school district, though, is just... So this district runs everything in the north end of the county here. So I don't know if you're familiar with that, maybe not have your kids, but the district here does the Fairview Elementary, Moroney, Fountain Green, all that is in one district. So it's kind of all kind of spread out to that whole north county. So that is one positive in the area.
It still should be looked at, though.
But that is not on the city side, that is on the district side.
This should be on everybody's side.
Those school budgets. They're based on a pupil basis. So if schools grow, the financing for schools coming back from the state along with taxes.
Yeah, but do they have the room?
Well, I mean, well, in the schools and all that, my house is too small too.
Claudia, you have something?
Just one quick thing. Obviously, a lot of people here tonight, and this wasn't even an agenda item. I don't know how you got your notification, but it's quite amazing to see this many people here for a non-agenda item. I would ask Jamie in the next little newsletter that goes in your light and water bill that she has on there, how you can get on the public website. These people can't do anything in a vacuum. Everything has to be transparent. So it's through the open public meetings law.
There's a link on the city website. If you go on the Mount Pleasant City website, there's a link.
Well, maybe put it on the newsletter so they can see. But if you just go in there, you can subscribe. And you'll get a notification of what the agenda is and what they're going to be talking about at that meeting. Now, had you known this before, that preliminary plan was going to be addressed by the city, you could have been here for that meeting. Instead, it's sort of a done deal. So I would encourage you to get a computer, a cell phone. You can get notification of their meetings, every one of them, and what the agenda is. So if you have interest in it, you can be here for sure.
You think if it was a big enough agenda, though, we'd get it?
I want to say, everybody appreciate you coming out. One thing I would like to definitely hope everybody's mindful of is the phone calls. Like I said, I've known a phone call for over an hour with quite a few several people asking about the meeting tonight. And I said, well, I've never heard, because it was, everybody was under the impression from word of mouth that this was a meeting about the subdivision. This was not even on our agenda. So it pays to not listen to word of mouth sometimes and come to, because I also was asked tonight, well, I was told that now we got to re-update the whole sewer system, we got to put in a brand new sewer treatment facility, and this, that, and the other. I said, that is not the case. You only do treatment facilities if you're discharging the water. We're not discharging. Our sewer is sufficient to handle. We have one pond currently in use out of five. So it has already been pre-planned, thankfully, and our forefathers did. That is one thing on a lot of this infrastructure that has been done. Water has been one that's kind of been shortfall, unfortunately, but those are things we have been working on really diligently. But, you know, instead of listening to word of mouth, sometimes just heed that maybe come talk to one of us. I'm sure any of us.
That word of mouth brought everybody here.
It did. But other kind of, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, all this stuff is posted, all this stuff is out. It's not, you know.
So the word of mouth needed to have gone out a while back.
Yes. I mean, it's good to bring people in. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
This is my first city council
meeting. Well, I'm going to take the word of mouth that is actually what the meeting is about and what's actually going on, is I guess what I'm basically trying to say.
Do you guys have a gag order where you can't talk about this stuff? Cause
no.
I'm respectfully, like, the word of mouth didn't come from you.
But it's like I said, on a subdivision, yeah, it may be a big deal to all you guys, but this is stuff that's in the city's ordinances. To us, it's no different than somebody buying a lot in a way and, you know, saying, okay, I just bought 10 acres from here. Now, you know, I'm meeting all your code. I'm going to develop this. I mean, if you did the same thing, would you expect the city to say, okay, I'm going to go out and tell all your neighbors now? Because as a developer, what does that do? I mean, I'm not saying that in a way that it's, you know, I'm just saying that it's
something that
they're out there, you know. Some do, but that's back on the developer. It's right behind this.
The developer talked to me.
And so,
because I ordered him, like,
right.
And I said, so what's your plans? And he says, oh, just a few homes. A few is not 80.
Depends on him or his aspect.
Okay,
one more comment, then we're going to move on.
Mayor, do we have access to a master plan for the city online or at the city offices? And we can see.
Our planning zoning map and codes is all online.
Okay.
and a master plan, say a five-year master plan.
General plan is on there.
General plan and a buffer zone is also on there.
And so it's all available online.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Can we go to the planning meeting, I think we're here under protest on the law, so I just can, gentlemen, can we go to the planning meeting and say, hey, can we start changing their...
Your best attempt is to get on their agenda so they can take action, because if it's not on the agenda, they can't take any action. That's the big thing again, just like Claudia's pointing back. We can't take action on anything that's not on the agenda. Excuse me, on the agenda.
It happens in the planning, not with you guys.
It starts with the planning and zoning.
With land use and zoning, it starts at the planning level. If you have an area of town that you want lower density, you need to come to planning zoning. Then we have to update the general plan and the land use element to incorporate that.
Yes.
And have a public hearing too, by the way, to change that, so...
To change the zoning.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on here. Next item, fire department.
So we went out and we marked out to Minnesota, got that truck all screwed around. It'll be a nice truck, so. We're waiting on we went through and we did a bunch of revisions on it, kind of changed some different stuff, basically like generators, different things like that, lighting packages. And so we're just kind of waiting on the results of the change come back, and then we'll approve them from there, and then they'll start building.
Is that going to make it cost more money?
A lot of the stuff I've done will probably be about even. I went with an inverter versus a generator. Cost difference of about $6,000 versus $16,000, so about $10,000 there. But then upgrading a lighting package to better scene lighting raised the price of that. So I tried to keep it about neutral, where it stayed about where it should be.
So you've taken some things away and added some things to make it better suited.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark, for your input.
Well, yeah, it'll be for the truck and everything, it'll be a very sufficient truck. When we'll fix the station, so a big plus.
Cool. That's amazing.
Anyway, other than that, we're been pretty quiet, pretty slow, which is good, so.
No chimney fires yet?
Nothing yet.
Don't curse us.
I just asked. I heard you siren.
It's been quiet.
Well, they was there Saturday going out of town. What was that?
Yeah, that was up in Fairview, so it comes that way, so they had a little shed fire up that way, so.
Okay, because I seen North Trump go by.
Nothing here in town.
So. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Public Works.
Well, we got the plows all on and ready to go.
Hopefully we'll get a forecast safe.
So it's snow tonight, so let's hope for a bus. We got the cemetery pretty well buttoned up, ready to plant in the springtime. We're going to put the timer in. That's almost left, right? Sprinkler timer. Everything else is buttoned up, ready to go on section B, which we plant in the spring. Get lots of snow we're going to get tonight. But other than that, we're catching up on a few other projects, and life's good. We don't have a lot right now.
Okay.
Did you get the snow melt going?
Yeah. We ordered a good bucket of that stuff. Oh, it finally pressured up, and it's holding pressure. We're good. Okay.
Looks like 4 a.m. there's a 90% chance. That's our best hope. So.
Yeah, I'll be getting about 6.
4 a.m. is a good time for
me. Thank you. I don't think Shane's here tonight. I think he's up to the UAMPS meeting for tomorrow.
Because they don't want to have to drive down that week.
Yeah.
I've got to leave at 8:40 there, so.
Okay, so.
You better go around.
I don't know if you want to skip to.
We'll skip to you then on the council report.
All right, yeah, I got to go to work. I work graveyard, so. I just wanted, since we have kind of an audience here, to update us on where we're at with our roads. We've applied for Community Development Block Grant that we're still waiting for approval on that would allow us to pave all the roads in Aspen Village. We really can't plan any projects until we find out about if we are going to get that grant or not. We should find out February.
Yeah, I think it's February 1st is the rating.
So we're hoping to get that grant. If we do, that will give us enough money in our budget to probably rebuild 3 miles of roads here in Mount Pleasant this spring. So we've talked about doing 5th East, 5th South, and potentially adding to that, doubling the size of that project. Maybe 2 North needs to be talked about. So we do have a big project coming up this spring. We're just kind of waiting for word on this grant we've applied for. But you can expect to see hopefully 3 miles of new roads here in Mount Pleasant this spring.
Mr. Black, since Senator Romney pushed through his infrastructure bill, can we expect to see more money here?
I don't know if it's too early to tell how we can use that money. Am I in a line for saying that, Dave, or?
Too early.
It's the trickle-down effect. We'll get
very little.
After it goes through the Wasatch Front, we get... It's crazy to think 1.3 trillion, and we get, you know, we should get some money.
Hopefully we'll get something. Hopefully they're thinking about rural. Yeah. You know, and we got a rural governor, maybe that'll help.
Maybe you can help with these water situations.
Yeah.
But I'll have to be excused if you don't mind, Mayor.
Okay. Be careful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been exciting.
You're up in the morning, so.
Yeah, we've been planning on all week.
You're going to go through it going up there, so be careful.
Yeah.
All right, we'll start with Justin.
So I guess this is my farewell speech a little bit. I'm not going to cry or nothing. Maybe if I did, it might be tears of joy, but just kidding.
Just for your wife's sake.
So a couple things I'm working on. We're on a water conservation fund to do the improvements at the park. I submitted that report to Susan Zarapreezy up there today. Asked for some comments back. And I haven't. I expect her to respond in the next couple of days with those before she moves that on to the National Park Service for their final approval. There was some NEPA questions that I had that, as far as environmental, we're hoping just to do a, what they call a categorical exclusion there because of it's all disturbed property. There's not really any environmental impact. So that's been submitted. Hopefully we'll get, after her review, we'll be able to move that on and get that funding in place for the park. Kind of just following on the heels of what Rodney said, the Joint Highway Committee through UDOT does have a grant program where there's, I think it's a 7% match. It's funded out till 2025, but it would help to improve 2nd North. So I think we ought to keep a close eye on that. It's allocated for collector streets, which that one is designated as a collector on UDOT's map. So with this development coming in, that might be a good source to tap into.
What if we could get help from the county on that? Where we're getting so many county people using
that
road.
That's a good point. And maybe we talk to the county about sharing the match or something, and even get a letter of support from them because of the impact that the county has on that road. So that's actually due in January for the funding of 2025, but I need to talk to Chris Potter to see if that road would qualify for that program. And so I'll plan to make that call in the next few days to just see if, because it says 50% of the money has to go to rural minor collectors, and that's what that would be considered. On that, I guess going out, it's been real and it's been fun, and it always has been real fun, but I'm looking forward to continuing with some, lending some help at some level to continue with these projects that I'm working on and see them through. So,
good. Thank you. Thanks for all your efforts.
I just want to say it's been a pleasure working with all of you guys, the other council members and staff. They've been great. I said I wasn't going to cry. I'm not going to. but it's been, I've learned a lot through the last 12 years of how a lot of the challenges that we have, but we've also experienced some level of success on some things. And so I wish the council, the new members coming in, Lynn and Paul, he's not here tonight, but maybe he's at a bishopric meeting tonight. he just got his plate filled up just over the weekend. So
yes, he did.
Anyway, I wish all of you the best of success. I know that you've got the best interests of the city at heart, and you have I pledge my support.
Thanks.
Kevin. I will say that the flowers for the light posts and everything, they have to order them in the fall to be ready for the spring, and
they are ordered.
And Jolene is working on that and got that approved. And you know, as far as anything else, I will say I thought the celebrations went very well too. It was nice to have the lighting ceremony come back. I thought it went well. And you know what? I got to thank Natalie and Jeannie, and I know it was mostly the ladies, but maybe we had some inside help there from others, but police department and Coulter Lab of Public Works really done a nice job of putting that together. It was good to have it back, and it was good to be a part of it. I felt like that was a good way for me to sign off, because it was successful, and I hope the community enjoyed that.
You got the hayride for that forever.
And it was a riot. You know, everybody went home, but there was still a line of people wanted to go around the block. And I'm thinking, this is really cool when you can entertain people on a bale of hay around the city block. You know, people go further to Disneyland, there's lines there. Well, we have a line here.
Yes, we do.
They were taking down the power trucks, and they was cleaning up the burn barrels, but we were still going around the block. And so, you know what, and we had printed music, and so by dawn, they started out with the young ladies, the royalty and stuff, leading the singing. Well, that lasted about four rounds, and then they would load up and say, okay, who's going to lead the music? And somebody would raise their hand, and by darn, it was fun. It was really fun, and having the music, or the words, I guess, most people know the music, but know the words. It was neat, and every group was a little bit different, but I thought it was fun, and I think we'll look to improve that in the future. But boy, what a great job getting it organized. And I just feel like that we had a year and a half off of getting the public together, and it was just nice to come back together. It was, so I was grateful for that. And you know, you get on the, let it be the county or the city council or whatever, you look at your city and you look at maybe what time or what resources or talents you might have. And I come from Utah County 35 years ago. And when I grew up in Salem, my pheasant hunting ground, I actually grew up in Spanish and moved to Salem, but my pheasant hunting ground was where Walmart and Spanish Fork is, and the new Maverick, and the new highway going up through the canyon. That torqued me off. That was my pheasant and duck hunting country, and you could even shoot a rabbit once in a while, and nobody cared if you shot a gun. And I mean, you know, I felt like I was in paradise as a kid. It started to change, and we went to Salem first, but then we got married and started having a family, and I had the opportunity to come down here when the natural gas, we didn't even have natural gas here 35 years ago. It was that rule. You'd go in a person's home and they still got the coal range heating the house and they're cooking on it. That was amazing to me. That was what attracted me to this rural environment. I wouldn't even dare tell you what you could buy a home or a piece of property for. It was ridiculous compared to what was up north. And so, being a simple-minded, somewhat farm boy, but also a lot of construction background, this was very attractive to me. And it's been wonderful to raise our children here. And I, you know, this crowd that was here, they want their kids to grow up in a good environment and good schools and good teachers and a community that has all of the amenities. We are so fortunate. We got hospitals, we got recreation facilities, we just got everything for a town, a community of 3,600 people. We are blessed. And we have to do what we can. And you know, you get on these jobs thinking, maybe I can do something to help. And it's been a real privilege. And I can say I thoroughly enjoyed 75% of the last 8 years. Boy, you can run into some heat. I learned that. And you've got to be careful whose toes you step on. But you know, we grow and we learn and we become better people, especially when we overcome obstacles and problems and heartache and engulf all that, and it makes you a better person. It makes you appreciate when times are good. So, and this has afforded me that. I've rejoiced when, you know, we got a new pavement on roads to the high school and to Second South and Fifth West and to our industrial park. To see the swimming pool evolve and all of these things that is really important to the citizens of Mount Pleasant. How long have we been wanting a swimming pool? I was always hearing about the swimming pool you had back in the 70s and stuff, and it was so wonderful. And we got it back finally after 50 years, 40 years, you know. So I've seen this come to fruition, and it's been a real privilege for me. And I love this community. Of the people in it. And I'm still going to be here in my job and our company. We get to meet, I've probably been in 50% of the homes in this community, and it's that kind of people that's made us want to grow. I'm not going to cry either. I tell you, it's just been a privilege, and I want to thank our staff. They're awesome, experienced and awesome. And our police department, we have got the best police force in the county. In fact, I think the county relies on us for much of their responsibilities and their work they have to do. Our fire department, every aspect of this city is awesome for what budget we have to work with. Mark Bona brings in so many dollars that we wouldn't have if we hadn't have gone after that. And I'm thankful he's trained David Oxman here and others, and hopefully I think this is part of why he's wanting you to come on board, is because somebody needs to replace that 84-year-old man. So lots of good things are on the horizon for Mount Pleasant. And if I was anybody that lived here, I'd be proud to say that for Mount Pleasant. And I just want, and this new council, what gives me peace of mind is we've got good people coming in, and we've got good people already here with some experience and even experience with the ones coming in. And it really gives me peace of mind knowing that the future is bright. And I just leave that with you with much appreciation and thank you.
I don't have a whole lot with the recreation. We got the corridor taking place. Is that
I went up the other night and I spoke with the head basketball coach about getting referees, having the kids go and ref games. Having been a head coach, I think it'd be a good experience for them to be a referee and might help them in a game situation where they'll understand what the ref's trying to do out there. So I went and talked to Coach Pollock about using some of these young people to referee these other games and learning experience for them. The pads out there for the new bathhouse at the Comtoy, which is part of what we're working on to get a trailhead here. And there'll be rides we'll take off from here and extend some more work at the Comtoy and use it even better than we use it now. Jack does a great job out there. I don't know how many of you have been out to the events, but there's a lot that goes on out there at that Comtoy, an awful lot. The swimming pool, I guess they're going to replace the valve.
Last I heard it was 8 weeks out, but I got Kelsey's working on it, so he said they're going to get one quick.
Yeah. She showed me that we was able to get the one to work today and when I was up there with her, but Brittany does a wonderful job at that pool. I walked in there and looked at the pool, and it was so clean and pristine. You could see, there was no clotted water. It was absolutely... So take advantage of it. Enjoy our pool. Brittany does a very good job with it. And like I say, Stephanie, she's over all the basketball and everything that's going on now. That's in good hands, too. That's all I got to report.
Okay. Anything else, Sam?
I don't have any, but I do want to give Kevin and Justin my sincere appreciation. It has been good to work with the last 2 years. And we've had our issues, and I think we've overcome them. I really appreciate what you guys have done on the council and the time you have served. I don't think people realize the time commitment that it really is to do stuff like that. I just want you to know I give you my sincere
thank you
appreciation. And
thank you.
Glad to work with you the last 2 years.
I appreciate
likewise.
Yep. I'd like to echo that too. It's been great working with you guys. So
thank you.
Learned a lot.
Likewise.
Learned a lot.
The longer you're in, the more appreciation I have for you.
Thanks.
I think you're making some good decisions. So many good things on the horizon.
The only thing I really have to report, Mark kind of reported about it, GUB's coming down Friday. We're going to meet with them. The whole pond is still tied up with that economist, the retired NRCS economist. It's been there all year. Hmm. It's getting bad. Because he come back and he goofed it up, so it got sent back to him. So we're hoping fairly quick to get that back so we move to the next step.
I think that's been the biggest frustration with this. He said 15 million, but it could be upwards of 25 million.
It's 25.
The whole frustration is time you go through all the impact
studies
and environmental impact studies and all of the studies that have to go on and the paperwork and red tape associated with it. You think, hey, let's just get going, but there's a lot of hoops to jump through, and really? Hopefully we're getting through them, and you'll probably find out more Friday.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to have him come report to council first of the year.
That'd be great.
So, again, it's just been stalled with that economist for basically the last, I'd say, 10 or 11 months. So,
yeah, Mark mentioned the flood dam up there and how we're going to expand it. We bought property to expand it. But in order to do that, you got to go through the hoops and making it a flood wall and a flood basin. And that takes some trickery, too. So, JUB's doing a good job. Like Kevin said, it's just it's jumping through hoops.
The process.
We're working to get better irrigation. Every home will have a meter on it, and everybody, we hope in the next 4 years, you all got all the water you need. But it just takes time.
It's a cost, too.
We've been working on it, and like I said, in May, we was here for all 5 weeks. We was in here going over codes and stuff, and roads and everything before we got hit with this subdivision. We knew it was coming. We got warning, so we were working to make sure that everything was done and done right. We're trying, but we do appreciate all of you coming in. We do. I mean, we don't know how you feel about something unless you come into us and let us know, or if we see you on the street about it. And so, and we take that, I do. If you see me and you got something you want, I won't deny you if you want to talk.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. The only other thing is we have the engineering, what do we call that, bids?
Sewer master plan?
Yeah, sewer master plan engineers coming back in on Friday, it's due?
Friday, it's due, yeah.
So I know Kevin mentioned you'd like to be on that to open them and see them.
How many do you need?
I can only have two city councilmen, so. You and if somebody else would like to. We haven't really set a time or date on when we're going to open them, so.
I think on the request I said we'd get back to the firms by the end of next week following that, so.
So probably the first part of next week.
Yeah.
What, Christmas Eve?
No.
I said let's try to do it now, Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay. I don't want to have to change my mind. Just let us know.
Yep.
That's all I have.
Well, when you guys make the motion.
I'll make a motion we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
All right. You know, about the
well,
I think this makes us very